Amen. We want you to get in and worship with us tonight. Seems like a different service. Such a, Pastor said, such a sweetness of the Holy Ghost moving in this house tonight. And again, I love it when God just sets things right in order just like He wants. I've wrestled this message as I have the others. And I have not wanted to preach this. But it's here. And the atmosphere is just right for what He wants to say to us tonight. Amen. You're going to help me, aren't you? Amen. We love you. We count it an honor to get to be with you. And the sweetness of your spirits, the hospitality is beyond us. And we just love you. We appreciate this honor to get to stand behind this sacred desk. As I said last night, greatest honor that can ever be given to a man would be the opportunity to preach in another man's pulpit. And we thank you. And I do not take it lightly. For granted, we thank you for the, helping us to get here and get home. Amen. And the offerings, and the place to stay, food, we just appreciate you. Amen. You do not realize how much you depend on your wife. Amen. When we went to Walmart yesterday, I still forgot my to-buy brush. And now all you are saying, oh, okay, that's what's wrong with his hair. Amen. Praise God. But I was going to have to do it with my... You know, these kids these days do it with their hands. Mess it all up. And I said, James, you got a brush? He said, no, sir, Dad, I'll just use my hand. And he don't want you to know this, but he's the one that got the spaghetti spoon. He's the one that gave me the spaghetti spoon to use. And it worked just fine. Amen. And you'd have never knew it, would you, if they hadn't have said it. Amen. So I guess when you're getting as small, when your hair is getting as less on my hair head as it is, spaghetti spoons can do it. But my wife don't know that yet, I don't think. And I'll try to keep it from her. Amen. Matthew chapter 21 tonight, if the Lord will help me. Hallelujah. I have lived this message for weeks, and now I've lived this. It's eaten me alive in the inside. I feel it so strong. I'll be honest, I look around and I thank God, not tonight. Maybe tomorrow night. But He specifically has it for tonight, so I don't know who He's talking to. But He's going to help somebody tonight. Feel like you love to see somebody saved. Can you say amen? I'm going to reach for you tonight. You're lost in this building. Whether you're lost and you know it or you're religious lost, we're going to reach for you. I pray God help me to reach you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 17, He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and He lodged there. Now in the morning, as He returned into the city, He hungered. Now in the morning, as He returned into the city, He hungered. When He saw a fig tree in the way, He came to it. Found nothing thereon, but leaves only. Said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. Presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled and saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall be done. All things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Can you shout amen? all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. Starts out rough, but it ends in victory, doesn't it? Praise God. Let's pray. Father God of heaven, from my heart, amen, I'm asking for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's only you that can give life to this word. You can cause the word to take life in us and bring in us a change. Something you desire in us. Lord, I thank you that you can take me out of the limitations of my own frailties, my own thinking. You can take me out of my own ability. Cause me to preach your word. Lord, I ask you to do something in this that only you can do in this building tonight. Lord, I realize we're tired, we're wore out. Lord, these folks have worked and they're tired and they're wore out. I ask you to take my incapabilities tonight. Let your heart be heard in this place. Let your thoughts of your mind be brought about. Lord, let heaven record this day, Lord, as a good day in your sight. God, that somebody was touched and helped and blessed. In the lovely name of Jesus we prayed. All the church said amen and hallelujah. Amen. Ask God right now to open your ears to hear the word of God. Come on, all over this building. I want you to stretch one hand and say, God, open up my ears, my heart. Not only that, but open up the ears and the hearts of everyone here. Oh, God, give us sweet conviction. Oh, Lamb of God, give us sweet conviction. Never in my life have I thought there'd be a day that I believe we could auction off conviction right now for $1 million. Amen. Praise God. I love to feel the power of the Holy Ghost in rejoicing. But more than anything in this world, I love to feel conviction. I love to feel God dealing with our hearts. Going to be a little slower tonight, but you're going to stay with me and just let me talk to you. So we begin to realize, amen. See, conviction is to the soul what pain is to the body. If there was never no conviction, we would never know that we needed help. The pain says to my body, something is wrong. If I'm walking, we still have old river baptizings, and we baptize in the river still. We don't have a water baptistry in our church, so we take them down to the creek bank. We enjoy it. Amen. We get the old box guitars out, and we sing and rejoice. And I'm telling you, they'll be usually sinners there, and they still got a little conscience, and they'll get out of the water. Young ladies will put towels around them, cover themselves. We'll be on one side, they're on the other. They'll sit there, cut their radios off, sit there and listen to us. Amen. Cry like babies while we're baptizing in that river. But if I were to walk in that river and step on a broken piece of glass, if there was no pain come to my leg or my foot, I would sit there in that river and bleed to death and never know that there's something wrong. But the moment my feet touch that glass and it cuts me, I begin to believe pain says to my mind, there's something wrong. So I reach my foot up and I look, and there's a cut. It saves me. Can you shout amen? It tells me something's the matter with you. We have pains in our body. How many's ever had a pain that come up in your body and brought you to a doctor, which only revealed something else in your life? Pain reveals to us there's something wrong. And so conviction is what pain is to the body, it is to the soul. And so as we begin to get into this tonight, I want the Lord to help me just a little while. Amen. That we begin to read here that Jesus is on a journey. He has been real busy. He is healing the sick and doing his ministry, doing what he's called to do. And the Bible says that he's here, and here we believe and we contemplate and believe that he stayed when around Bethany. He had no place to lay his head as far as his own home, but we believe he stayed in the house with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and they housed him there. Amen. Here he is in Bethany. He lodged there, and the next morning he's on his journey. And the Bible says, as he was returning from the city, he hungered. He got a desire for food. He was desiring something. So the Bible said that Christ begins to move toward, looks ahead and sees the fig tree. as he begins to go toward this fig tree, anticipating to be satisfied from the fruit of the tree, the Bible said when he got there, he finds no fruit on it. The Bible says that he got angry. Not necessarily the Bible said he got angry, but we know he got aggravated. Amen. Because he said, let no fruit grow on this tree henceforth forever. Right then and there, the fig tree withered away. Right there in their presence, he deceived him into believing that it had something. The fig tree in the Jewish history is a tree they called the hypocrite tree, because it can look in full foliage like it has great fruit on it, only to find when you get to it and remove the leaf, you find out it's fruitless. It has not produced anything in it. Therefore, the hungry soul moves to it. The body moves. The hungry man moves toward the fig tree, only to find an emptiness there, a barrenness there. We realize that here that when Jesus says something, that he's saying so much more than what he's saying. Amen. When he speaks something, he's speaking so much more than just speaking something. We read it. We have to understand it. As we begin to look into this, we find he's not just talking about a fig tree here, but he's talking about deeper things. He cast it out. He burnt. He destroyed it. He cursed it, because it had deceived him. Amen. And then he begins to teach the disciples something. But we begin to contrast that with the book of Genesis chapter number 3. Can you shout amen? The Bible begins to tell us that God was hungry. Amen. The only thing that God hungers for is fellowship with you and me. The only thing that God is hungered for, because God is God. He's omnipresent. There is nothing lacking in God. Amen. Not one thing. God doesn't have to borrow anything from anybody. He's God. But the Bible declares to us throughout the whole entire Scripture that His desire to fellowship with us, amen, is a hunger to Him. He desires to come down with man and fellowship with man. He created us in His image. He created us for the sole purpose that we're to worship Him and have a relationship with Him and to walk with Him and to talk with Him. So it's the will of God. That's the reason why He sent Christ. After the Adam and Eve had sinned, He began to prepare the way that you and I could come back into fellowship with Him and have relationship. That's the reason why the Bible says, amen, that if you neglect so great a salvation, amen, how shall you escape? It's the will of God that you come into that relationship, that fellowship with Him. Boy, you're quiet tonight. And so we find that God is in hungered here, amen, for the fellowship with man. But Adam and Eve had sinned. They had rebelled against God. And so we find out that here the scene is so much bigger in this Scripture. Amen. There is a hunger in God's heart for those He created. As we begin to compare it, God's looking for fellowship and found nothing. When He came down to Adam and Eve that day, it should have been Adam looking for God. Adam should have been the one running throughout that garden crying, God, where are You? Where are You, God? Amen. Because they knew they had become a separation. But instead, it's the God of the universe in search of Adam. It's God looking for man. It should be man looking for God. But instead, God is looking for man. Now, God knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to admit where he was. The Bible said God come down to do as He had always done. Amen. To fellowship with Adam, and Adam was not there. The Bible said, God said, where art thou, Adam? Amen. He said, I hid. I knew you were coming, and I hid myself among the trees. Amen. I hid myself. Why did you hide yourself? He had took of that tree of knowledge. Amen. Now, there's a million trees in that garden. Only one that it can't have above. Can you shout amen? Now, isn't it amazing the devil magnifies the one thing we can't have when there's a million other things that we can participate in?
He tells them that they got a million trees in the garden of paradise, but there's one that they can't eat of. And that's the one that the devil focused them on. Can you shout amen? That's the reason why I say to churches and fellowships, when I preach youth meetings or camp meetings, I preach to the adults about their young people. If all we do is ever stand around as preachers and talk about the one tree they can't have, amen, that's all they're ever going to notice. Can you shout amen? But there's a whole million other trees that they can eat up. I believe in preaching about the other trees, what we can do in the kingdom of God. Amen. But Adam is pointed and Eve is penetrated to the one tree that they could not have. The devil has served, the serpent had beguiled them into taking of the tree. And now they thought they could live outside of the life of God and still be okay. Adam in his own nature, Adam in his own wanting, amen, realizes something's wrong. I'm naked. And on his own accord, he takes and puts fig leaves on his body to cover his nakedness, thinking that I can do this and still be all right. Amen. Surely God's not going to drive us out of the garden. But I want you to know, just like Jesus came to that tree that day and found nothing, he finds Adam with fig trees on him, leaves on him, fig trees to hide his sin, hide his nakedness. Amen. You see, the sin of Adam and Eve, amen, is this. Amen. The fact that they tried to live outside of the Word of God and still think that they could live in paradise. There is a deception that will cause men to believe that they can do certain things and preach, amen, make their own religion, make their own ways, and still live in the paradise of God. But I come to tell you tonight, you can't live outside the life of God and be saved. Can you shout amen? Praise God, I hope you're going to help me. This fig tree appears to have fruit at times, but only deceives. I come to tell you tonight that comfortableness in religion will deceive you. I said church attendance will deceive you. Religion will have an appearance, but bring only deception to your life. Are you here with me? You can have an appearance that you have something. Are you listening to me? You can have the appearance you have something, but nothing be on it for the barren soul to eat from. Amen. We find what he found. Amen. Cry, God found the deceptiveness. Amen. Adam standing there in fig leaves. Amen. Outside of what God has spoken. But yet I still going to have fellowship with him. Isn't it amazing how this world is waiting on God to come to their level and agree with their lives? But I've got news for you tonight. No matter how much he loves you, he will not come to your place. He will not come to you. You must come to him. Well, it's going to be tough tonight. I said God's not going to come down to you. Amen. To your level. You can argue with God. You can have a standoff with God. If I wait long enough, he'll forgive me. If I wait long enough, he'll let down. If I wait long enough, I'm telling you, you look that Old Testament, honey, he let them do what they want to. He had let them all die before he break down his standard and break down his word to come to what they were. Oh, God, hear me preach tonight. Oh, I feel like talking to you. But I'm telling you, we got folks that have wrapped themselves in religion, have wrapped themselves, come on here in church. Yes, they're prophesying, amen, good things. Amen, they've wrapped themselves in religion. Are you hearing me? They make themselves comfortable. Amen, right now, if you don't like it, the church is like, amen, the food chain. If you don't like Chinese, you can go to Mexican. If you don't like Mexican, you can go to America. We got Italian. Well, the church world has made it that way too. If you don't like what we preach here, you can go down the road and find you what you like. You can find find you a religion that will fit you and fit your ways. But what scares me to death is the fact that if I find something that fits me, I still am not going to make it to heaven. Are you hearing me tonight? Oh, God. Oh, you listen to me. You go to one group, and I'm telling you, it's among our holiness people too. You go to one church and they believe one thing. You go to another. You go to one area and they accuse one thing while excusing other things. You go to another area and they accuse the other thing while excusing something else. Oh, you might as well help me preach tonight. Amen. They'll accuse one thing and excuse another. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here to help me. I said to my heart when God gave me this message, it's man trying his best to do just like Adam. Put enough leaves on. Amen. To make it fit him. But I wouldn't give you a penny for my own religion. I said I wouldn't give you a penny for my own thoughts, my own ideas. I've come to tell you, you don't want to stand in the judgment with nothing but what you have. I said you don't want to stand in the judgment with nothing but what you have. Oh, you hearing me preach tonight? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I've watched them leave my church, Brother Frazier. You can tell I get a little tough sometimes, but I try my best to do it with the most love that I can. I love people. I don't want to hurt anybody. Are you listening to me? But I've had them leave. Had one man and woman come to me, got hurt in a church, and our church is called Refuge Pentecostal Church, and they came to my church and they sat under me for a year. They said, we want to heal. Amen. They came. God moved mightily in their lives. Amen. God did some great things. Told me they had learned more in a year than they had their whole entire experience of being saved. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. They had been there for a year. All of a sudden they missed a Sunday. I went to visit them. And these were their words. Amen to me. He said, Pastor, we have so much thoroughly enjoy being under your ministry. You have taught us right. I said, have we offended you in any way? No, sir. I said, everything you've ever done has been in love. They said, but in your church, said the things you teach are right. Are you listening to me? I said, can you find me out of the scripture? No, sir. I said, have I ever taught anything that's not Bible? No, sir. It's all there. But then they said these disturbing words to me, brother. They said, but we will never come up, amen, to the standard of your word. Are you listening to me? Therefore, we know we can never teach a Sunday school class, and we will never be able to be in leadership in your church. And I said, okay, now let me understand you correctly. You tell me that what I say to you is Bible, and that what I stand for is Scripture, but you tell me you're not going to come up to it. Are you hearing me? I said, yes, sir, we'll never be that. Amen. So we're going to go somewhere where we can be used. Amen. They were very friendly. We're going to go somewhere where we can be used. And I'm telling you, I broke on the inside of me because I said, they literally said, we will not. In other words, we're not going to obey the word of God, but we're going to go somewhere where we can be used. And guess what? They found them a church where they can be used. They're Sunday school teachers. But what bothers me is they lay down every night, amen, in their own minds. Are you hearing me preach tonight? And they rest in the fact that they're teaching Sunday school, amen, because some loose living preacher allowed them to live any way they wanted to live. Are you hearing me? They've wrapped themselves in religion, and they're getting by. They're getting by. I said they're getting by, but 5 minutes till the judgment seat of Christ, it ain't going to make it. Oh God. Oh Savior. Great God, I wouldn't trust my children on man-made religion. I would trust my soul on man-made religion. Oh, I wish I could preach to you like I feel. We think we can actually gain the favor of God amen, some other route. Amen, that God will understand us. Are you listening to me? Adam thought this. Adam did this when he moved outside the reveal. See, the sin of Adam and Eve is they moved outside the revealed will of God for their life. And when they did, the nature of Satan himself came to Adam, and he had fought, come on, because he had a fallen, deceptive nature, and now he's tried to cover himself with that same nature. Are you listening to me? God wants fellowship with us. No matter what I preach to you, whether it's hard or it's sweet, every message that comes across this podium is not to get you out. It's not to drive you away, but it's to bring you into fellowship. Oh God, when we preach things you don't want to hear, it's not to make you feel bad and leave here with a guilty conscience of condemnation, but it's to bring you into relationship, to bring you into fellowship with God. Oh, raise your hands and give God a praise. Hallelujah. God's just saying, I want you back. Hallelujah. I want you back. I want a fellowship with you. Keep me turned up, brother. Amen. I want you back. Amen. But there are certain ways you cannot come back. I said there are certain ways you cannot come back. Amen. You cannot come back on your own ways. The Bible said your heart is exceedingly deceitful. And who can know it? Well, it's hot tonight. I come to tell you, you can feel okay where you are. You can justify your ways. But there's only one justification, honey. That's the blood of Jesus and my submission to the Word of God. The only justifying that I'm going to plead is I've been washed in the blood and I have brought myself under the subjection of the Word of God. Well, I don't feel this way. And I don't feel this way, and I don't feel... Oh, are you listening to me? Are you going to trust your eternal existence on what you feel, on what feels good to you? Are you hearing me? Your heart's exceedingly deceitful. Your heart's exceedingly wicked. You say, Brother Greg, you're pretty negative. Stay with me. We're going to get to the sweet stuff before it's over with. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We are living in that kind of time right now. Can you shout amen? We think that God's going to come down to us like He did in the Garden of Eden. They have lost the fruit of righteousness. They were in a right relationship with God and were not satisfied living in the perimeter of what God calls life. They moved outside what God called life and tried to do it their own way. Come on here. Outside of what God says. And they started listening to the suggestive ways of the devil. Suggest the suggestive ways of the devil. And they lost the fruit of righteousness. They've lost their sense of being able to come into fellowship with God. Amen. They're longing for that fellowship as much as God longs for the fellowship with them. But there's a separation now. There's a wall between God and man. All because they listened to the suggestive ways of the devil. Hallelujah. He comes down in that garden. And where does he find them but hiding among leaves? Garments of their own making, trying to prove to themselves and God that everything is okay. Trying to make themselves feel better. Trying to make them feel okay. Hear me tonight. I said, you can tune me out. I said, you can tune me out tonight. I've tried my best to get out of this, but for some reason or another, he's wanting to talk to a man or a woman or a boy or girl in this building or somebody outside this building. But I come to tell you, God has got a meeting with you tonight, and this message is going to lie in your hands when I get through. Hallelujah. Can you imagine feeling okay? Praise God. I got an aunt right now who does not want to live right. Are you listening to me? She don't want to live right. She wants to keep smoking. Come on here. She wants to keep living. Come to church when she feels like it. Amen. She come to my church. Prayed at my church. She goes down. She left. And blamed us for the reason why she left. Because we didn't go see her. I knocked on her door 4 times and called her more times than I could shake a stick at. It's imagine how they can blame it on everybody else. But now they go to church. Amen. At the church she goes, she can go anytime she feels like it. She gets to sing, smoking, and everything else. Come on here, Pentecost too. Hallelujah. Amen. Do anything you want to do right on the platform. I'm not here to preach that. I'm not here to preach on that. I'm here to preach to you. The concept of human man can make itself feel so good wrapped in religion. That's what I'm trying to show you. Whether it's allowed, it's religion in itself. Are you hearing me? Amen. And she feels she can be okay and nothing matters. Amen. I said to my grandpa here a while back, amen, he attends that church. He's a good man. Yes, he is. But I said, Granddaddy, I don't judge nobody. But they were going through something and they wanted me to help them. And I went down. We had a family situation and I dealt with it. I said, but I'm going to tell you, Grandpa, the reason why this has come into our lives and the reason why you're fighting this in this family is because of that church you go to. I said, they allow anything and everything to go on. Come on here, you're going to get quiet on me. I'm talking about they let men preach that's been married 3 to 4 times. You just got quiet on me. I'm talking about leave their wives for another woman. Amen. Come on here. And still allow them in that pulpit. Amen. Come on here. You might as well help me preach tonight. Amen. And never say a thing about it. I said, if you'll let a man like that in your pulpit, he'll allow everything to go. Amen. There's a church back home. A man left his wife for another woman. Walked out of the church and left her. Went outside. Got another girl that he left her for. Amen. With child. Amen. 3 weeks later, he decided he wanted back in the church. Walked back in. Come on here. They voted him back in as pastor. 3 or 4 weeks later, amen, his pregnant girlfriend sitting on the front row. The church has packed out on Sunday. You might as well help me. Got a drug addict leading to Sunday school. Come on here. He's so messed up. You might as well hear me. Amen. Amen. I'm not preaching about that in necessity, but what I'm trying to say to you, it's a dangerous thing, folks, to wrap yourself up in religion. Oh, great God, help me tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Men believe they can move outside the will of God, the very righteousness of God. It was really upon Adam and Eve. But heaven sinned, they lost it. They lost that clothing. They realized they were naked and had become bankrupt within themselves. And they did what they could on their own understanding. They lost what God gave. Gave it up. I wish I could. They sewed fig tree leaves together and covered themselves. How foolish they might have looked. I want you to know, so foolish in us standing trying to cover ourselves with our own ways. Are you listening to me? He cursed that tree when he saw it, hallelujah, and said, let no more fruit grow on it anymore. Let no hungry stranger find any comfort among its barren leaves. The Bible said it withered away in so much more. Come on here. It's much more than a tree. Christ has come to humanity. Humanity has progressed from fig trees, fig leaves. Are you listening to me? That's what he's trying to show us. Amen. We've come a long way since Adam. Are you listening to me? Amen. It's no longer fig leaves, but it's a combination of man's efforts. The fig leaves are no longer there, but the garments are just the same. Amen. The leaves have very, very fancy grassy, amen, leaves. They've got long borders. Amen. They got little flowery things. Long flowing robes that would elevate one another. Come on here. So now man's clothed with all that this that would come out of my own mind. And Jesus is standing there looking at this victory like he did in Genesis chapter 3. He stands there in the city near Jerusalem and he says, amen, you're no longer to dwell. Amen. One day I'm going to set my kingdom. But behind these walls is a city of thousands of people that have clothed themselves in religion. But there's no fruit in their lives. Well, I feel a struggle in my soul. I feel hell not wanting me to say what I got to say tonight. But I'm going to get it out if it takes me to midnight to get it to you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That nation of Israel's no longer Adam with the leaves on him. But they're a nation now. They got thousands behind their walls. I said thousands behind them walls. They got their own understanding in man-made garments, man-made efforts to prove to man and God that everything is okay. He looks and there's no fruit there. There's no stranger can find life in that tree. Amen. Are you listening to me? There's nothing in religion, amen, in man's attempt to get back to God. It looks holy until you get close to it. Hallelujah. It looks right till you get close enough to it. There are all kinds of religion out there that looks good until you get close and find it's fruitless. There's nothing of the life of God in it. There's nothing that brings comfort to the stranger, that fatherless. There's nothing that satisfies the hungry soul. Man is still hungry. Man is still desiring. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Religion with no fruit. No change of life. Hallelujah. It goes in the wholeness church just like the liberal church. Hallelujah. You can dress up a goat and when you get through dressing up a goat, they're still a goat. Come on here. That's why we call them deacon boards. Buck everything you do, everything you say. Come on, you're quiet on me tonight. I mean, they sit there and buck everything you. Come on here, I've seen them. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I'm in trouble tonight. Amen. I said to somebody, you just get a dressed up goat, get a goat dressed up. They ain't nothing but a dressed up goat. Got a bad spirit, bad attitude. Amen. Judge everybody that walks in. Come on here, you might as well help me preach. Then we wonder why we ain't got hardly enough to keep the bills paid. Come on here when there's a lost and dying world out there because man has comforted himself in religion. I said to Brother Calicott last night, one of our great, amen, churches in the independent wholeness movement runs a big crowd. One of the biggest numbered churches they are. And I preached revival there one time, 3 weeks. And one of the deacons said to me out of church, said it's been 20 years since we had a new convert off that street. Hallelujah. 3 years we've gained them from other churches. We gained them from the church down the road. Amen. Come on here. But it's been 20 years since we've had a new convert. Amen. Brother Calicott said to me last night, he said, I made this statement one time. Somebody told me I hadn't had somebody saved in 2 years. He said, I made the statement of that individual. He said, if I didn't have somebody saved my church in 30 days, he said, I would leave the church. Amen. Come on. That's what he said to me. He said he got through making that statement, said he got went across the road to get his wife some bread and milk. Said when he started back across the road, said the Holy Ghost spoke to him, said a voice spoke to me. He started crying in the fellowship hall and said, you know what? Tomorrow I'll be 30 days. Amen. Are you listening to me? That nobody been saved in your church. 30 days, Sunday. It's Sunday. Tomorrow's the 30th day. Amen. He went into Walt and his wife. She's about got supper done. Amen. She said to him, he said to her, honey, I'm going to the church. She said, well, be back around 4:30. Supper's going to be here. He said, I won't be back for supper tonight. She said, when you're coming home? He said, I won't be home till in the morning to get ready for church. Hallelujah. Because of that statement he made. He said, I laid there all night begging God to get a hold of me, get a hold of this church. He said, Sunday night, the worst lady in the city got saved and had 30-something people saved over the next 11 weeks. Hallelujah. God, help me preach tonight. Oh, God, there is a spirit that will cause you to become comfortable. Oh, I feel you, Holy Ghost. I knew you was here. I knew you was here. I said, I knew you was here. Are you hearing me? There is something about coming comfortable in religion. There's something about coming comfortable in the house of God. It's a dangerous thing if you're not producing life. If there's no fruit coming out of your experience. Now when I preach on the extremes, you shout me down. You get all awed when I talk about a man leaving his wife for another woman. They let him preach. But it's no different than us sitting on churches every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and there's no change in us. And there's no move. And there's nobody being saved. And there's no fruit coming on the tree. If there's life there, there's going to be fruit. Are you listening to me? Oh, that's what I'm trying to preach to you tonight. The fig tree's full of leaves. It's full of sap. But it's not producing. And Christ cursed it. I said he cursed it. I said he cursed. He cursed every religion that looks good but does not produce, amen, food for the hungry soul. Help me, Holy Ghost. I wish I could preach this. Are you listening to me? It moves us. Come on here. Something starts changing in that church. But if there's not a soul saved, it ought to shake us. It ought to stir us. Where's the life of God in the church?
You get a cancer. Little bitty cancer come up on you, you'll break your neck to get to that doctor. Come on here. You ever met people who's had a surgery for every ache they ever had? There's a woman that was married to somebody in my family. She's so hypochondriac, Brother Fraser. She sent me a letter. I ain't seen her. She's a step person. And the person he was married to divorced her. She's in our family about 5 years. I ain't seen her about four. She sent me a letter, and in a five-page letter, she had 8 surgeries. I mean, a surgery for everything. Praise God. There's one woman in South Georgia, if you get something, she gets it in about 3 weeks. She goes to every doctor there is, till one doctor tells her, yep, that's what it is. She's got one doctor that has figured her out. So when she goes to see him, she wouldn't leave him alone. So now he just gives her sugar pills, goes home. She takes it. All it is sugar and a pill. And she's healed in 2 days. He done figured her out. Amen. Boy, you're getting quiet on me now. But you get a little pain. You get a little, come on here, a little bump come up on you. We run the doctor. Attack me. Oh, God, let us become that way with lukewarmness. Let us become that way with comfortableness in religion. Let us become that way at ease. If I haven't felt God moving on me in 2 weeks, let me get in that altar and lay there. Amen. And my teenagers ain't getting involved in my Sunday school class. Don't teach it till they all die. Find out what's wrong. I said, why will we settle for fig leaves? I said, why will we settle for fig leaves? Jesus cursed the unfruitfulness. You hear me? Praise God. You wouldn't have liked me for revival if I was evangelizing. Because if I ain't had a move of God by Wednesday night, I'd either say, come on here, I'd forget my sermons, I'd forget my messages,
I'd climb in that pulpit, and this is what I said. If I hadn't had a breakthrough by Wednesday night, I'd say, now I want to know why you got me here. I said, because if you don't want revival, I'm going home. I said, I got enough places to preach that I don't need to scratch my itch. Come on here, you're looking at me. I said, I'm not bragging, but I don't got to have another place to preach. I don't need that. Yes, I appreciate the money. Amen, but come on here. Amen, it ain't the money. Amen, but I'm here to have revival, and I want to move of God. Because I want to tell you, I can't sleep when I go back to that room. If we wouldn't have something produced here, if God wasn't doing something here, amen, are you listening to me? I said, I'd be done lost my mind trying to figure out, is there something with me? What's wrong? Why aren't we producing lies? God, help the church realize. You see why we're so easy to sleep in religion. We're so easy to sleep with fig leaves. God, stir us tonight. Shake me. Am I producing anything in my life? Hallelujah. Well, you're quiet tonight. Brother Greg, you're beating us up. No, I'm not. He comes now. He comes now. It's from Adam all the way now. And he curses every bit of man's efforts. He said, this is where your efforts has brought you. Nothing. Brother Kenny preached your meeting last year. Has he preached that message yet? If he hadn't, maybe he'll preach it next year. If he gets to come. On the victims of the powerless church. The Bible said they brought that dumb boy to Jesus, to the disciples, and said, cast him out. Boy, it's quiet. Cast him out. The Bible said they couldn't cast him out. You don't know why they're arguing. Why did he take Peter, James, John upon the mountain? Why didn't he take us? And all they worried about is getting a seat on his right hand, a seat on his left hand. But while they're fussing and arguing and backbiting, there's a boy chained to a tree. I said, there's a kid tied to a tree. Because they don't have the power to cast the devil out of him. If we don't have the power to produce changed lives, then there's no reason for that church to exist. Come on here. I'm going to use Brother Clendenin's statement right here. Amen. Are you listening to me? Life doesn't come out of that church. That church is birthed out of the life of God. And when the life of God ceases, that church ceases for its reason to exist. We're not here to be pretty. We're not here to have pretty buildings. We're here to have changed lives. We're here to see men changed by the power of God. Hallelujah. He came to do what we could not do ourselves. He stands there at that fig tree and he says, I come to do what this phony religion can't do. No more phoniness. No more appearance of godliness, but no power. No more without the genuine fruit in your life. No more of this phony religion that claims to be my representation to the world. And it's deceived itself into thinking it's coming back into heaven where I'm at. No more of this fruit of deception. No more. I curse it. I curse it. I curse it. He stands there and curses that fig. Then we go back to Genesis. You know what he said? He looked at Adam and Eve and said, all right, you want something besides what I gave you? You want to produce your own thing? You want something besides what I gave you? Then fine. I drive you out of paradise. I place angels with fiery swords. The only way you're going to get back in here. Come on here. You're not coming back in here. Hallelujah. There's a flaming sword. Are you here with me? I said, are you here with me tonight? Then he turned and looked down and said, cursed be the ground. I curse the ground. I curse the fruit trees. I cursed the ground, the nature. Are you listening to me? Then he turned around, looked at them, and said, now go till it. Now go sweat and till it and work yourself to death trying to find what I gave you. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Sweat, toil, and try to find what I gave you. Hallelujah. You try. You try to get to me. You try to find that satisfying. You try the drugs. You try the alcohol. You try the loose living. You try all kind of religion. It's not going to satisfy you like I was going to satisfy you. I need some people in this building who would say, yes, Pastor, I tried it. I tried it, everything that I knew to try, but it gave me no satisfaction. He said, till it. He said, work the land. But when you're through, you're going to be exhausted and still have nothing.
You're not going to find satisfaction in anything this world can produce to satisfy your young and soul. You try all you want, you're going to find nothing to cover you but sorrowfulness will become part of your daily life. What you produce of your own efforts will never satisfy you. It will put clothes on you, pretty colors, but it's not going to change you. Come on. Oh, I'm in trouble. I feel like I'm not reaching you like I want to reach you. You want to shout and you want to run tonight. You want a message that will lift you high. I'm sorry. If I could, I would have preached one tonight because I had one on my... God's talking to somebody. It may not be everybody, but He's talking to somebody. At the end, you're going to till the ground. You're going to try it with all of your heart, but you're going to find nothing of the sweat of your own hands could bring you what I have for you. And Jesus stood there. Are you listening to me? And amen. And all the way back in the Garden of Eden, He said, the only way you're going to come back in here will never be by your own human effort, but it's going to be by My Word. That sword, Brother Frazier, that stands there, Brother Eastman, is the flaming Word of God. It's the Word of God you rebelled and lost it all. It's going to be the Word of God that's going to get you back in here. You must come to the altar and say, Father, I agree with You. I agree with Your Word. I agree with Your ways. I agree with You. Come on here. You listen to me. We try to do better, don't we? We say, well, how does this look? Come on here. Will You accept this, Lord? I'm not swearing anymore. I'm carrying a big Bible. I'm wearing an Armani suit that costs $500. Is this okay? Can I come back in now? Hallelujah. No. Look at me. I'm not in the world anymore. Is this all right? Am I doing better? I don't cuss. I don't swear. I don't dance anymore. Are you listening to me? Oh, He's standing outside His own people. He says, why are you so religious, but you have hatred in your heart? You're so religious, but you have lust in your heart. You're so religious, but you lie. Come on here. Amen. You're not seeking those that are lost, but you become a stumbling block. The fig tree is not a fig tree, but He's saying it's My own people. No more am I going to let it go on this nation. Are you hearing me? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. heart that would be mellow before me. Yea, is it not what I long for? Not just a hand-in-hand relationship, but a heart-to-heart relationship with my people.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands and love God. We're not going to be much longer. This garment they wear brings comfort. It's a comfort of their own making. It allows them to feel comfortable while still committing adultery. It allows them to be comfortable though they still lie, though they still gossip. This garment convinces them there is nothing to worry about. Even though Jesus has said, if you forgive not, I shall not forgive you. Please, don't take me wrong tonight. I'm not being mean. What I'm trying to say to you from my heart is this. We live in a religious system this day and hour. Who can make yourself feel comfortable while there's so many emptiness in us. And we sit back and we're comfortable. We're in a Laodicean church age where we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But he said, no, you're not, but you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind. I said, hallelujah. But all of a sudden, even though Jesus has said it, you can find you a church that will not challenge your sin, that will not expose the hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of it all. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have you mad at me and you go to heaven than I had you to love me and go to hell. How sad to live in Adam's fig trees, religion. How sad it would be to live your whole entire life in the comfortableness of religion only to find out you were wrong. You can afford to be wrong in a quiz game. You can afford to be wrong. Come on here, but you cannot afford to be wrong at the end. Come on here. I'm a closing. How can I know, Pastor? Listen to me. What was the sin of the fig tree? It failed. That's the sin of it. It was religion that failed. It had an empty profession. It professed something but was empty. It had an unfruitful purpose. Hallelujah. It had deceived instead of serving. God help me. It was purpose for living was to produce and it had not produced. How can I know, Brother Greg, that the covering I have is going to get me into heaven? How can I know that the covering I have is going to get me there? Zechariah 3, stay with me, you're going to the sweet stuff now. Verse number 8, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Hallelujah. Amen. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. Zechariah said, I'm going to bring my branch, my servant, the branch. He's going to remove iniquity in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. But in one day, hallelujah, that branch. In other words, he's saying, you couldn't get back into this paradise, so I'm going to bring it out to you. And he took the branch of the tree of life. Well, I done hurt you so much you're not going to get with me on the tail end of this. Hallelujah. He says, you can't come to me on your own. Your own efforts have left you hopeless. Your own ways have left you hopeless. Your religion has left you empty. But the branch has come out to you. I said the branch. And what it took you 2,000 years to try to accomplish, I'm going to do it in...
glory in this house. He said, one day, hallelujah, one day, hallelujah, is all it takes me. Hallelujah. Come on, stay with me. I got to go here. A branch means a new source. Can I preach another 5 to 10, 15 minutes? You see, over here, you got the Adam root. That's who we was born in. It's the root of Adam. Over here, you got the new branch. The root out of a dry ground. Amen. It's Christ. When you get born again, it's your Adam nature to do what you've always done. Nobody has to teach you to lie. Nobody has to teach you to pitch a fit. Nobody has to teach you to gossip. Nobody has to teach you to backbite. Nobody has to teach you to rebel. It comes out of your nature. I didn't teach my little girl. Come on here. My little girl, you know, we raised them in Pentecost. Amen. We was over at my brother's house. They were Christmas and they had some Jingle Bell Rock stuff on. And my little girls in there, my little cousins and my little nieces and nephews are on there doing their jigs, you know, breakdancing, disco dance. My little girl's going. She didn't know nothing else to do but start shouting. Praise God. She just shouted. Amen. Amen. My mama and my little niece riding down the road the other day, they're singing some country song. My mama said something about rebellion. Amen. She was singing it to me. Amen. It was something about being, you know, drinking. Amen. Said she all of a sudden, she heard another voice singing. Says my little girl in the back with her hands raised going, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. She didn't know the song they were singing, but she knew her church song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what I said to you is this. I didn't have to teach her how to pitch a fit. She didn't learn how to pitch one from daddy. She didn't learn how to lie from daddy. We never lied to her day in our life, but it's in her Adam nature. But thank God for the branch. Because when you get born again, He cuts you off the Adam tree. He saws you off the Adam tree. Come on, now you want to get in with me. Now you want to shout with me. Now you want to worship with me. Come on here. That's all right. You can shout with me. It's okay. Hallelujah. Because I shout myself. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the branch has brought hope to a hopeless religious system. And now that I've been born again, He cuts me off the Adam tree and engrafts me into the new tree. Guess what? You ain't got to teach me to live wholeness. It's in the blood. It's in the root. You ain't got to teach me to praise. It's in the root. You ain't got to teach me how to jump, how to pray, how to live right. It's my nature. You ain't got to beg me to come to church. It's my nature. You ain't got to beg me to pay my tithe. It's my nature. You ain't got to beg me to... Hallelujah. I come from drug addicts. Come on here. How do you know how to preach like that? I don't. But my nature does. Because I'm connected to the... I'm connected to the tree. Now, can I ever look down my nose at anybody else? Huh? No. Because it's not me. It's Him. Can I ever look at somebody else because they're not like me? No, because it's Him. It's the fruit of Him. My holiness is His fruit. Hallelujah. I said my holiness is His fruit. Now that I'm connected to Him, it's my nature to worship. It's my nature to praise. It's my nature to glorify God. I know what some of you are saying. You mean it all happened. I'm telling you, amen. The problem is I'm in the flesh still. The problem is this heavenly precious treasure is in an earthen vessel. And the sanctification process is this. I've got to allow that life to work its way through my life. And sometimes this old tree, are you listening to me, that's been grafted in has trouble. It's unlike me, though, but it's just like Him. It ain't like me to be forgiven, but it's just like Him. It ain't like me to live right, but it's just like him. Oh, somebody help me preach. And your job is to let his life flow through you. To let his life. Great God of heaven, lift your hands and let the life of God flow through you.
Hallelujah. In one day. One day. Praise God, I gotta quit. He said, you can't come to me, I'm coming to you. And the branch is how you're gonna get back into fellowship with God. Says, he said, I'm gonna clothe thee with a change of raiment. He said he's going to clothe thee and Zechariah with a change of raiment. He said, behold, I've caused thy iniquity to pass from thee. I've caused your iniquity to pass, and I'm going to clothe you now with a change of raiment. I'm going to take it away and give you another garment. Two coats before me, no one that I knew. I could have either. Tell me, what must I do? That old coat was filthy, not fit to wear. The other, a new coat that had never been worn. That old coat was filthy, not fit to wear. I thought of it often and I shed bitter tears. But there was my new coat presented to view. I laid off the old coat. Am I too north for that song? That's an old bluegrass song from down in the hills of Kentucky. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. When I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. I said, hallelujah. That first coat was Adam. He was made from the ground. We all bear his image, the whole world around. But next was my Savior from heaven so fair. He brought me my new coat. You now see me wear. This coat, it fits me, keeps me so warm. Been good in the battle, been good in the storm. Jesus has clothed me in garments so rare. He filled me with His glory, His image I'm gonna bear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. When I laid off the old coat and I put on the new, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. When I laid off the old coat, I put on the new. I'm going to say it one more time. This coat, it fit. Keeps me so warm. Good in the battle, been good in the storm. Jesus has clothed me with garments so rare. He filled me with His glory. His image I'm gonna bear. Y'all ready to learn it? I'll tell you the best thing. Say it with me before I close. I ever did do. When I laid off the old coat, put on the new, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. When I laid off the old coat, I put on the new. Give God a shout of praise all over us. Yes, you can have your religion. I'll take Jesus. I said you can have your religion. I'll take Jesus. You can have your man-made stuff. I'll take Jesus.
Guys, stay with me because I'm through. Keep me up, brothers. You don't have to do it. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you a covering that only I can give in one day. He came to me in one day. What I could not do in a lifetime, He did it in one day. I walked in one boy and left another boy. I walked in with one desire and walked out with a new desire. Woo! You don't need fig leaves. I have found a covering. I said, you don't need fig leaves. We have found a covering. Hallelujah. Come on, are you still with me? Now y'all want to rewind back to last night? Where did Philip find Nathanael? Where was he? Under a what? A fig tree. And when Jesus saw him coming, He said, behold, a man with no guile. You know why? He's sitting under a fig tree of religion. He's clothed in the Israelite clothes. But he's saying, there's more to this life than what I've got. There's something missing. There's something I don't have. Are you listening to me? And Jesus said, Nathanael, hallelujah, amen, thou with no God. He said, how do you know me, Lord? He said, I saw you underneath that fig tree. I want to ask tonight, is there any Nathanaels here? Is there any Nathanaels here that said, I stood under the fig tree of religion all my life, but I'm ready for something greater in my life? He said, I'm sick of this fruitless clothing of self-deception. I want everything God's got for me. I said, I want everything God's got for me. Religion will keep you out, but Jesus will take you in. I got to preach. I got to quit, but I got to preach. There's this man in my home church years ago. He backslid on the Lord when he was a teenage boy. And every time he got up to sing, he'd go, ooh, start crying. He'd say, I know God ain't going to use me like He could have used me because I backslid one day. Hallelujah. He'd get up and he'd just cry and sing. He'd sing, sister. Ooh, he'd sing. And every night he'd get up and say, God, can you use me? I heard that for 10 years. Till I come home from revival. And Holy Ghost told me I just got out of 8.5 week revival. I got home on Thursday night. I'm sitting in my church on Thursday night. My pastor says, come on, brother, sing. He got up and says, I wish God would use me, but I know He's not going to use me like He could have used me because I quit when I was a teenage boy and come back to Him 5 years later. Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, ask Him who told Him that. I said, come on, you done got quiet on me. I got up to preach and I said, brother, I got to say this before I go any further. Who told you you couldn't be used of God? Well, I said, well, is it in the Bible? Did you read it in the Bible anywhere? Well, no, sir. I said, did somebody tell? No, sir. I said, I guess the devil's told me. I said, that's exactly right. The Holy Ghost told me to tell you, you wasted 10 years. I'll tell you the best thing. Hallelujah. I'm glad the same blood that got me in August the 30th of 1989 is the same blood that got me anointed tonight. The same blood that got me in August the 30th, 1989, it's the same blood that's causing me to feel what I'm feeling, what I'm feeling like I'm feeling right now. You hadn't done one thing to deserve it. You've not done one thing to cause it to be worthy of it. It's the blood. I said, it's the blood. It's the blood. It's the, somebody shout the blood. Hallelujah. Man, y'all helping me so much, I just can't quit. I get too excited. So guess what? Hallelujah. Heaven was opened up. I want you to watch what happened to Nathanael. Soon as he looked at him, he said, these things greater shall you see. Remember what I said to you last night? You shall see heaven open up. Immediately, when Nathanael believed, he was brought into the blessings of Abraham. I said he was brought into the blessings of Abraham. Amen. Why would you choose this other religion when heaven's open to you? Why would you choose to go to hell? Why would you choose to live in deception? Nathanael said, Rabbi, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, you believe because of this? I'm going to let you into the blessings of Abraham. Right then and there, he got the blessings of Jacob's dream. Hallelujah. Then what did Jesus say? Verily I say unto you, that you join my religion. You take on my new clothes. You take on my new garment. You think what I just did, this fig tree something? These works and greater shall you do. Am I right? He said, let no fruit grow anymore. And the disciples saw how quick it withered away in the moment they were right standing. Come on here. He says, the moment you are in right standing with God, He will command all dead things, all religious things in your life to die. The whole form's going to die. He said, the moment you accept me, the moment you come to knowledge that I'm your only way, the truth, and the life, and you begin to let me in, He said, I'm going to speak to all religion in your life. I'm going to speak to all fruitfulness, and it's going to die. False deception's going to die. Your will's going to die. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening to me? He says, all you got to do is believe. But that word believes means more than just saying I believe. It means how many remembers what he said today? Put it on. Turns around then and he looks at the mountain. I wish I could preach this. Turns around, looks at that mountain. Now he's got one tree that's dead. Turns around, looks at a mountain of trees. Well, there's a bunch of more fig trees. And he looks at that mountain and said, you're the source of all these fig trees. What is that? Our fallen nature. It's that fallen nature that created all this religion. And what did he say you can do to that mountain? I'm cursing human effort. I'm cursing religion. He said, but I'm going to tell you the source of it all is that mountain. It's your fallen nature. He said, now if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. In other words, you can look in that night mirror and say, you're done. You're finished with. Deception, go into the sea. Depression, go into the sea. Selfishness, go into the sea. Lying, go into the sea. Lustfulness, go into the sea. All of you, into the sea. Everything that's dead fruit, into the sea. I cast you mountain out of my life. Get out of my life. You no longer have dominion over me. You no longer have control over me. Be thou cast into the sea. Then he says, the whole mountain, get you out of my way. I come to tell you tonight, you can say to the mountain, get out of my way. Kyle, can you preach right now? Hallelujah. Praise God, because if you would, I'll let you preach while I shout. Hallelujah. Because I'm done wore out. But if I could, I'd get my second breath and preach another hour on the simple fact. Mountain, get out of my way. Get out of my way. Some of you need to shout. Get out of my way, human nature. Get out of my way, mountain. I want everything God's got for me. And in one moment, religion's cursed. The power to move mountains comes. And then he says, all things.